preparations are underway for a mass casualty exercise in Haines this weekend, and a new executive director of the Alaska Board of Fisheries is named. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. A mass casualty training on Saturday in Haines will not only offer a training opportunity for local first responders, but for agencies across Southeast. 70 people are coming from out of town, including responders, hospital administrators, officials from Homeland Security, and Coast Guard, to participate in the exercise. Coordinating it all is Tom Matisse. He's the program manager for the Southeast Alaska Division of the Metropolitan Medical Response System. He and Haines fireman Al Badgley sat down with us to explain the exercise, what it will entail, why it's important, and how it's bringing together resources from across Southeast to prepare for a major disaster.
We'll have an event occur in the parade grounds, and there'll be a mass casualty incident, a small fire that'll get taken care of right away, and then the local responders will respond to the parade grounds. They'll start doing triage and start sending people to the clinic and to your alternate care facility, which is your A and B hall, and that's where you put the overflow until you can get to them. And so your local responders will deal with most of the on-scene triage and transport. And then if you did have some huge incident, whether there was a cruise ship incident or some major incident where you were going to have casualties for great lengths of time, you would call in this greater resource. Or if Sitka gets wiped out, we would call in this greater resource and we would all be able to show up. We would have the ability to move stuff on C-130s and do stuff more rapidly than we're doing for this drill. So we could drop in strike teams of medics and strike teams of shelter support people. The idea is to be able to coordinate mutual aid at the greatest level. Last year, Juneau had a big fire. Within 6 hours, I had every one of my firemen on scene and they were worn out. I picked up the phone and called Sitka Fire Department and called the Coast Guard, who practice with us every year and play with us every year. And in 90 minutes, I had strike teams of more firemen on the ground. Whether it's a fire that overwhelms a local community or a mass casualty incident that overwhelms every hospital in Southeast Alaska, we're building the ability to come together and coordinate and respond at the greatest level we can. This was created through a federal grant through Homeland Security for mass casualty response. And Juneau is the one who holds that grant for all of Southeast Alaska. So we buy equipment for a lot of different jurisdictions and we plan on how we would respond and we do some training together and we exercise together to know that we've coordinated response from the ground up all throughout Southeast Alaska. This is the last year of the grant, so we're actually bringing in all of our assets and all of our teams for this exercise. This will be the largest one that's occurred in Southeast Alaska.
It's really good to have it here due to the fact it is pretty much optimizing what Haines can do on its own, which is going to be limited in a scale of this magnitude. I mean, this would be a challenge for any Southeast community of having 40 to 100 people injured at one time. So for us to initially start this is really good to practice for our team of medics and firefighters. And also we're looking at integrating some of the guides, et cetera, like that are outside the fire department that have had first aid EMT skills. So we're gonna include them in this drill too. So in a real life situation, we're gonna get everybody that have medical assets to be able to use in this scenario. If there is a siren or if there is a tone, that is our indication that this is the real thing and we will stop the exercise and deal with a real emergency.
We did a plane crash in Klawak. We did an active shooter drill in Yakutat. It's pretty neat that Southeast Alaska has 7 mobile medical facilities in Yakutat, in Wrangell, in Thorn Bay on Prince of Wales Island, Sitka, Juneau, Ketchikan, and your neighboring community here in Skagway has these mobile medical facilities. We also have strike teams of medics that we can bring in from each one of those communities, as well as strike teams of medics from Petersburg that supports Wrangell, and Skagway and Haines support one another, and Prince of Wales Island, all the communities come together to respond together. So we have 7 mobile medical facilities and more than 11 strike teams of medics that are a mobile asset to bring together to support this kind of event. I think the biggest thing that's important to recognize is that the more we practice together, the more we plan together, the more we play together, the better off we are to support one another in a real world emergency. From what we've created the last few years, I know that with a simple phone call, I was able to mobilize a lot of assets to bring support to my community for a big fire we had last year. And I know that if any community in Southeast Alaska has a disaster after the event on Saturday, we will be much better prepared to coordinate and respond and play together. We have built a team in Southeast Alaska. We've set the standard for planning and training and exercising together in Southeast Alaska for the state of Alaska. We're really doing a great job, and I couldn't thank the people in Haines and in Southeast Alaska enough for what they've created.
Volunteers are still needed to act as victims during the Saturday morning exercise at Fort Seward. High school students who wish to volunteer can also receive service credit. Contact Al Badgley at 766-2115. It's time for the Klondike Trail of 98 International Road Relay again, set to start Friday evening in Skagway, when about 147 teams will set off for an overnight run to Whitehorse. The race consists of teams of usually 10 members running different legs of the 110-mile course that starts in Skagway, follows the trail of the Gold Rush Stampede over White Pass, and finishes along the Yukon River in Whitehorse. The course is known for providing participants an array of difficulty, terrain, and weather. But race coordinator Kevin Patterson said this year, it looks like at least Mother Nature is holding off on dropping any snow during the race.
I've been looking through Environment Canada, and I'm also trying to check out some of the U.S. weather forecasts. I think it's going to at least be warm. I think that's probably the number one thing that I know at this point, is that it's not going to be freezing cold. I don't think we're going to have any snow, but it sounds like it could be mostly dry with the chance of showers.
Patterson said the field of teams is larger than last year, though the record field of 161 teams from 1998 will likely stand. To facilitate that many participants, there are more than 225 volunteers this year to help the event run smoothly. This is Patterson's first year coordinating the race for Sport Yukon. He hasn't run the race before, but said he's impressed with the preparation necessary not just for the race, but also for the participants.
Well, I definitely thought there was going to be geographic challenges. I mean, where I'm from Nova Scotia, I don't know too much about the Northwest, but it's actually been even more challenging than I expected in some ways, however, a lot more fun in others as well, because ultimately when I look at our breakdown of teams, we have 75 teams from Alaska, and we have 68 teams from the Yukon, and we have a few teams from BC and one from the Northwest Territory. So it kind of covers a large basis, and then we have people running, well, 10 different legs for a lot of the different teams, and they're spanning from 9 kilometers to 25.6 kilometers. So I have to give them a lot of respect for the effort that they're putting in for the training.
And he's also excited to see a variety of racers, not just from Alaska and Canada, but in age as well.
We have ages spanning from 11 to 81 in the official categories this year, which is pretty impressive, because we also do have our youth category, but we have an 11-year-old in one of the official categories, so it's pretty awesome to see that it can span by such a large age span.
Patterson reminds motorists to keep an eye out for racers and support vehicles throughout the night along the Klondike Highway. The race ends Saturday in Whitehorse, followed by an awards ceremony scheduled for 7 p.m. and live music and a celebration following. For more information and to see results as they are posted, visit the race website at KlondikeRoadRelay.com. A man with quite a bit of experience in economic development in Alaska has been chosen as the new executive director of the Alaska Board of Fisheries. KDLG's Mike Mason has the story.
The members of the Alaska Board of Fisheries are getting ready for a busy fall and winter with meetings focused on Upper Cook Inlet, Kodiak, and Chignik fisheries. The man who will help guide the board through the process is Glenn Haight. He's been chosen as the new executive director to replace Monica Wellard, who has moved over to a job in the subsistence division. Haight admits that the upcoming meeting cycle should be interesting.
There's things I'm going to have to learn, there's no doubt, and a lot of the processes and issues and structure is all a learning curve for me, but that's the kind of thing that's exciting about it, and so I'm looking forward to it.
The 2013-2014 Board of Fish meeting cycle begins with a work session October the 9th and 10th, followed by the statewide Pacific Cod meeting in Anchorage from October the 18th through the 22nd. The Chinook Finfish Meeting will be in Anchorage December 5th and 6th, followed by the Lower Cook Inlet Finfish Meeting from December the 8th through the 11th. In January, the Board of Fish will travel to Kodiak for the Kodiak Finfish Meeting. From January 31st through February 13th, the Board will hold the Upper Cook Inlet Finfish Meeting in Anchorage at the Egan Civic Center. That meeting is sure to be well attended and feature debates about several controversial issues. Haight says he's been working to get up to speed on the issues.
As the executive director for the Board of Fish, that's my job, is to really facilitate the process. Having good public participation and input and deliberation will be certainly my goals right out of the box.
Last month, the proposal book was released. It comes in at over 390 pages, including over 360 actual proposals to make changes to sport, commercial, and subsistence fisheries. Haight asserts that he's making his way through the book.
As I close down here at Commerce, I'm putting one foot into that box and pulling one foot out here. So it's my evening reading.
Glenn Haight comes to his new job from the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, where he's been serving as a development manager for the Alaska Division of Economic Development. Haight has a bachelor's degree in administration from the University of New Mexico and a master's degree from the American Graduate School of International Management in Glendale, Arizona. Haight's first day on the job will be Monday. He'll be based in Juneau. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Mike Mason for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.